All right. Lord, we thank you for another fine evening you've made for us. Lord, we thank you that you're with us. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to speak through all of us, lead us and guide us into the way that you want us to go, Lord. Teach us a little bit tonight from each body, everybody, about prayer, what it is, why we do it, how we do it, all aspects of it, Father. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command the communications to be perfect for everybody in this conference call, in this fellowship tonight. Nobody gets knocked off. Nobody has any trouble. In Jesus' name, we command every spirit. We bind every spirit that tries to hinder and take people off right now in the name of Jesus. You're bound from interfering from our communications in Jesus' name. We take that authority over you by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that tonight's going to be an absolutely perfect night for everybody. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Father, I lift up Kimberly Rankin. Lord, I thank you that she wants to know more about you. They tell us, or she told us, that she has terminal colon cancer. And that she's on oxygen, and she's weak. And she needs prayer, and she's asking for some word. So, Lord, we're just going to pray for her, and we're going to believe you're going to reach down and touch her and bring her out of that bed of affliction. And because you've given us the authority that we need and we have through the blood of Jesus, as it says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command the spirit of cancer to go from Kimberly Rankin right now in the name of Jesus. Go from her in Jesus' name. And I command the spirit of the fear of cancer to go from Kimberly Rankin right now in the name of Jesus. And I command that spirit of death off of her right now in Jesus' name. You go in the name of Jesus. I bind all three of you up and cast you off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And I command the symptoms to go with them. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you're touching her right now in the name of Jesus, that she no more has cancer. And we praise you, Father. She is a child of yours, and she's open to receive the benefits of being a child of God. And we thank you, Father, that she is alive, well, has good breath, and has a complete healed body. Now, Kimberly Rankin, come up out of that bed of affliction in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that she is. In Jesus' name. We cast down all word curses spoken against her by the doctors and the nurses and family members in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for surrounding her right now by your warrior angels, Lord, to strengthen her and bring her out of that bed of affliction. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Does everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for Kimberly's complete healing. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. That's done, dear. All right, Lord, we thank you for that. And all the rest of them is going to be answered tonight in Jesus' name. Okay, anybody else got a prayer request? Yes, Missy.
My mom and dad both have been dealing with a lot of pain, mostly their backs and stuff like that. My dad has had problems for years with his back. He went on disability because of it. And so my mom said that, I forget how she said this, but basically it's hard for them to enjoy anything or do much of anything lots of times because of the pain that they have. So could you pray for them as the Lord leads you?
Yeah. Yes, I can, and I will. What's your mom's name?
Betty.
Betty?
Mm-hmm.
And your dad?
Glenn.
Glenn. Lord, we lift up Debbie and Glenn to you. And Lord, we ask that you meet them where their faith is and take over. In the name of Jesus, we command these spirits of infirmity off of them right now. We bind you up and cast you off of them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that they're both healed, delivered, and set free. And Father, we ask that you open up their spiritual eyes to see and their spiritual ears to hear the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're going to get the glory, Lord. Not doctors, not pills, not anything but you, Lord. And we thank you for it. Glenn, I command you to straighten up and walk normal again in Jesus' name. Command that back to be healed and the pain to go right now in Jesus' name. In the same way with Betty, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Whatever the infirmity is, it's got to go right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that both of them are healed, delivered, and set free and looking to you, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. We command Pharma Kia to shut its doors on them right now in the name of Jesus. We cast off all of that junk that they've given them in the past to help them. It didn't do anything but hinder them. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you for what you're doing in both of them right now. In Jesus' name, cleanse them, Lord, with the touch of your Holy Spirit. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I believe it, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Praise
you. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Tell them to receive, Missy, because they're healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Judy, I'll see you.
I've got a cousin that they found a spot on his lung. They don't know what it is yet or anything. I'm just rebuking it and praising the Lord that spot isn't even going to be there when they recheck it. So I thank you, Lord, that you've healed David in the name of Jesus, and there is no spot on his lung. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We believe with Judy. Now, spot you go in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
We believe it.
Amen.
All right. Tell David he's healed. Now start claiming it.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah. All right, Will. Go ahead, brother.
Hello, 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 Michael. Hello, everyone.
Hey, brother.
I just want to share can I share a photograph? Is that possible?
Well, sure.
Let me see. You.
Well, I don't know now. Yep. What kind of photograph is it? We need to figure that one out.
No, it's good. It's good. You'd want to see it.
Okay. All right. Let me make sure I got everything right. Okay. Yeah, you can come on. You can share it.
Let's see. Just a second. Sorry, I haven't shared a photo on this phone before. So just another second. Let me see if I...
Okay, take two. You got three more seconds.
Okay, good. I've got it. Ah, here we go.
Oh my, who is that?
Can you guys see
yeah.
the photo?
Yeah, we see a couple there.
That is Ujerile Siaheng and his wife to be yeah, fine. 10 years ago, I used to be a teacher for 3 years. He's getting married in the 11th of December to Nikki. He seems very excited. He just had his bachelor's on the farm this weekend. So I just want to pray for them and their marriage. Yeah, it's such an important decision. I just want to pray that this is the wife that he should marry. Okay, let me just pray. Lord, I pray for Durile and his wife to be. I pray that this is the one that you have in mind for him, Lord, that she, and I pray that she knows you. Lord, I also pray that they have an awesome, awesome marriage and that they'll be, yeah, that they'll be together and that they'll stay together, Lord, and they'll serve you wholeheartedly until you come for us, Lord, and we'll come for them. Yeah, thank you. He's been an amazing person in my life, and I just ask you to please bless him and his wife to be. Amen.
Amen. That's a beautiful couple. Amen. Can you hear me well?
Sure. Okay, are you there?
You know how to get off the share now. Hey, Will. There we go. That's better. Let's see, where'd he go? Did it knock him off? Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. That was a good-looking couple, fixing to get married. Is that what he was talking about? They were getting married? Okay. Something, one of his pupils, wasn't it? In the past? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Denny, go ahead.
Yeah, our daughter Victory has been expressing an interest to want to move to Tennessee. We've been praying for her for, you know, quite a while now, and it just seems like she's really getting more desirous of it. And so we just, she asked us if we would have you all, if we'd all pray tonight for them for direction. And so is it timing? Is it God's will? You know, these things. So that's what we want to pray for.
Okay, go ahead and pray and we'll believe with you. And we'll.
Yeah, her and Jonah, her 7-year-old, she said they've been walking around the apartment and praying and asking the Lord, should we move to Tennessee? And it seems like it would be a good thing. We think it would be. And so, but you know, we always want to make sure it's God's will completely. So, well, Father, we, Lord, Victory asks, and we stand with her, Lord. We agree if this is a good time for her to move, and that you would open the doors, God. You're the ones that you open doors and close doors. We pray that if this is her time to move, you would open the door and just cause things to work out. And we just commit it to you, and we just look to you, Father. We trust you. We trust you in it, Lord. Lord, our desire is for her to be in a good place with you and with God's people. And so we just commit her to you right now and ask your blessing upon her. Cover all the details, Lord. We thank you, God. And we're open to a no answer as well. We're totally trusting you. Lord, we believe it is a time, Lord. We thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Lord, we just shook our faith up with Minnie and Debbie and Victory and Joey. Lord, we thank you for opening that door for them and allowing them to come on over here and be a part of the group, a part of the fellowship, where they could grow exponentially, quickly in you, Lord. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask that you make it be known to all of them that she is supposed to be here. In Jesus' name. If not, close the door. Like Dennis said, we believe with him. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Father. It is done. Okay, Joe, is that it? Okay, go ahead, Joe. Joe Britt.
Hello, everybody. I received that email yesterday from my bank, from my account, my check account. They said some of my information was leaked. I just want to pray against that, please.
Okay, pray against what now?
Some of my personal information of my account, my check account, was been leaked. I just want to pray against any misuse of it somehow.
Okay. I'm not going to say it. Go ahead, Judy.
I'll pray and you can join with me. I understood what Joe was saying. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy, your sovereignty and your protection. I thank you for this trial of faith that Joe has right now. And we come together in the name of Jesus and we bind up any illegal activity with that information that was somehow leaked out of the bank about his personal information, that it's all hidden. Joe is hidden in Christ Jesus. His information is hidden in Christ Jesus. We pray down and cast down all illegal activity, identity theft, any kind of theft of his money or anything having to do with his account. We thank you, Lord, that everything is restored and protected in your holy name, Jesus. And we praise you and thank you, Lord. And we ask that you give Joe complete peace and rest and assurance of everything, because we stand in agreement with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Everything is safe.
In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Will.
I just want to know, where did I get kicked off? Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, we heard your prayer and we agreed with you.
Okay, great. Then I got, then it's good. All right. Now that's all I wanted to know. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good looking couple. God bless them throughout their whole marriage in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anyone else got a prayer request or testimony? Praise report? Yeah, Barry.
Went to the grocery store today. Got a bunch of groceries. Yeah, hey.
Going to eat now.
Car started up and, didn't slide around on the ice or anything. It was really great. But anyway, got the grocery store, bought a whole bunch of stuff, buying for four adults. And there was a guy in front of me, and he was watching the little display on the cash register. And he was watching the total, and they were just about to total him up. And he turned back to me. He says, "Nah, not going to make it $160 here." And he handed me this coupon, and the coupon was for $16 off your purchase if you spent $160. So I had this coupon, he got $16 off my grocery. I've never seen this guy before in my life. I think an angel was there at the grocery store in front of me. But anyway, praise the Lord, that was great. You know, unexpected, just grace, you know, and a wonderful gift and a real encouragement at the grocery store. So praise the Lord for that.
Praise God forevermore. Yeah, that's awesome. Man, I went to the store the other day, got some T-bone for $2.99 a pound. I'm telling you, I did. Yes, I just asked me if I stocked up my freezer. I did. We had one tonight. Praise God. $16 love gift. Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. Oh, my. All right. Anyone else? I'll tell you a little story about me and David one time. We'd been working or something. I don't even remember what we was doing, but we pulled into Wendy's. And as we pulled in, another car pulled off. And this lady stuck her head out the window, and she had this sack out there. And she said, well, they just drove off. And we said, "What did they pay for it?" "Yeah." "Well, what are you going to do with it?" "Well, I guess, I don't know." I said, "Why don't you give it to us?" David's doing all the talking. She just gave it to us. 2 cheeseburgers, 2 orders of fries, and 2 Cokes. Praise God. So that's been a few years back, but God is so good, isn't he? He is so good. All right, anybody else? Well, go ahead, brother.
Oh, there was 2 things that I wanted to share. I don't know if you guys remember, we prayed for my friends. They fled out of China just when COVID started. They had teaching jobs over in China, and Yuan and Becky, we prayed for them. They came back, and they were in South Africa the whole time during COVID, and they taught online. They now wanted to go back to China and still wants to go back to China. They've booked flight tickets twice. And every time it gets cancelled, and it's very difficult, and the flight tickets are very expensive, and then they refund you, but they can take up to 2 years to do the refunding. I'm just wondering if they should go back to China. They also visited me this weekend, and I was just listening to them. I'm just very unsure if they should go back. Also, China, I've watched some, there's a few movies about the Church of God in China, and if you spread the gospel in China, it's very, you'd face a decent persecution still. It's very tough in China. I don't know if they really should go there. I'm really concerned about them. They've got 2 young daughters, which goes to Becky works in China, so the kids has to go to some sort of nursery school, and I don't know what a nursery school is really like in China these days. You know, the one used to be in a nursery school before they fled back to South Africa. But the interesting thing is, his brother told me he told me about his brother. We've got pastors in South Africa and then duominees. Pastors is a shorter course, a study course. I think it's like 3 years. And then duominees, I think it's 5 years or something. And it's at the university. So that's more prestigious. So his brother is a duominee. He's been telling me they sort of come from Joburg area. And he's been telling me his brothers have been having an extremely tough time, having that the people are really suffering financially from COVID. I've never really heard stories like this. It's the first time. Apparently, he's been carrying around food for a people that used to be extremely wealthy in the church, or like really wealthy. And two people in his ministry has already committed suicide because of the financial changes. What else? Yeah, one of the duominees has committed suicide. So, yeah, he's really going through a tough time in his church, his congregation that he's leading. He's about, I think, in his I'd say his brother would be 35 years old now, I just want to pray for him. It makes me think about Michael. You guys had someone, a guy called Michael, on the old teachings with David, and he came on. Michael, he used to work for Gift of the Givers or something like that. He's a Russian living in America. And there was a teaching about provision, and he said in the time that's coming, people are going to commit suicide because they weren't prepared at all for any tough time. And I really see that happening now. It's really from the prosperity movement that we saw in South Africa coming down to what we have now. It's really interesting. I just wanted to share what's going on in South Africa and what I've heard now from Yuan. It's very interesting. I think if we can just pray for especially the Christians now coming out of having this rude awakening out of prosperity, the prosperity movement, that they'll really seek the Lord. And also, what's expected of us should we start sharing food, if asked, or should we start putting ourselves out there, especially if we have extra, I don't know what's expected of us. And if just giving them food, and it's just going to really not, I don't know, I'm just wondering, should we make ourselves available to people that are handing out food? Or should we wait? What's expected of us now in this time? Or should we rather focus on praying for them so they come to repentance? If you hand out food, it just sort of postpones what actually should happen. We want them all back on their knees in repentance. You know what I'm saying? Handing out food now is just going to still keep them going on the same road they were on, if you know what I'm saying. We want them to now just sort of repent and really come to the Lord and repent of all the... So I don't know. I think rather for me to hand out food, if asked for now, and also pray for them that they get the spiritual food. I don't know if the ministries that are dealing with the problems they are facing now are really giving them the provision knowledge that they need. Giving someone a food sample is great, but teaching them how to provide for themselves and the steps of provision is so much better. So I don't know. I know you're handing out food samples. It's good. But are you teaching them now to repent? The first thing is, if you seek the kingdom of God with your heart and soul, all other things will be added onto you. I don't know if that's really being pressed enough already. So yeah, that's sort of my thoughts about the whole thing. Sorry for taking so much time.
Oh, that's okay, Will. No, you hit on a good point that rather than go to school to be a missionary, you could send them a Sovereign God book. That'd be worth more than either one of those schools, I guarantee you, because it'd put them on the right road to understanding what the Word says. In my opinion, that's the food they need. They need God's words, what they need worse than anything. And faith, it'll build their faith up. My gracious. You could give them something to eat, but you got to go back and give them something else to eat if you don't teach them what faith is, right? Of course, you know that.
Yeah, no, so it's better for us to focus on and invest our money in getting them spiritual food. Yeah. I must say, I agree with that, because people's ears are opening up now. You talk about provision, they listen. And there's a few things about provision that a person needs to know. There's like five important things. If you don't do those things, you're not going to get anything. The church hasn't been, the prosperity movement, unfortunately, has not been teaching that. But I just want to, I think if I can just make a prayer, Lord, I pray that you will use this situation to press your children to seek you very hard, in a hard way, Lord, that they'll work hard now to seek you and that they won't commit suicide. I come against the spirit of suicide. I pray against the spirit of suicide. And I pray for your children now to endure and now go to the Word and repent from their sins and that they will also get the food that they need. But they also need to fight for the food that they need, Lord. It doesn't come easy. They've got to press in. They've got to dive down for those pearls. They've got to really work for it. And then, well, obviously, in grace, Lord, you really got to, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence. They've got to become violent for the truth, Lord, and not give up so easily. Lord, I pray for the ministers that they will also seek you now, that they will seek you so they'll be able to lead the people to you, Lord. I pray against, and apparently divorces are like becoming so much now. I've heard from him in the churches because of the financial stress, suicide and divorce is intense. Apparently, it's very bad. Lord, I pray for marriages to go through this time now, Lord, and that your children will seek you. Lord, I plead with you and help us to know what to do with the money and everything that we've got now ready for, that you had a plan for, Lord. You've had a plan so the bride is prepared. Help us to know when to give food and when not to give food and when to give spiritual food and when to do this and when to do that. Lead us, Lord, and help us to be led during this time that you have prepared for the bride to shine and do her job with the man-child. Lord, prepare us and help us to pass our exam during this time and so we won't fail you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we'll just know this, that you remember when the Jews left Egypt, that the Egyptians threw money at them, threw gold at them, threw all of that stuff at them. And same thing's fixing to happen. God's people are fixing to be, true people are fixing to be blessed with a lot of money. And that money is not for them. It's to be distributed and utilized in the kingdom. And that's what's fixing to happen. So praise God. Praise God forevermore. Okay, Tim, I believe you were first, and then Pat, and then Missy. Unless you had something on the other there.
Well done.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Okay. I just wanted to share a praise report with everybody here. Share it with the vocal group. But a couple of weeks ago, it actually started several months ago, I started having kind of shortness of breath. And it developed to a point where it felt like the bottom half of my lungs just weren't functioning. They weren't taking air. They weren't doing anything. Like, not really paralyzed, of course, but just in my normal sitting, and I just wasn't getting a good deep breath. And they were just like I was cut off halfway down my lungs. I wasn't getting any air in them, and I wasn't getting any function out of them. And I was thinking that, you know, I could go to the Lord, and I prayed about it, and was waiting kind of on a healing. Deliverance. And on the Friday night meeting a couple weeks ago, Debbie had a song to share, Debbie Finsky. And it was, I can't remember hardly any of the song, but it was a song of healing from the Lord. And I just kind of got into the spirit and was listening to her song. And during the course of the 3 minutes or whatever she was singing, my lungs started working again. They just opened back up, and I was breathing more, and it got better and every day. But I mean, just it happened during the song. And I had to stop the meeting and say, hey, thank you, Lord. I just got healed here. And but it was more than a healing. It occurred to me a couple of days later that it was a demonic oppression of some sort that was stopping up my lungs. And I was delivered to that oppression during Debbie's song by the Lord. Just wanted to share that, you know, the wonderful thing that God did, because I was, you know, coming up with all these uses in the natural. Well, I've, you know, been breathing this and spray painting that, and, you know, maybe that's what it is, but it was something that was attacking me, and I was delivered, and I want to give God the praise for that, because it sure feels better.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right. Good story. Good praise report. Go ahead, Pat.
Thank you, Lord, for Tim's healing. I just wanted to say, William kind of triggered my thoughts there for a second when he was talking about the giving, people food or teaching them how, and obviously that parable came to my mind, or proverb came to my mind of the aspect of giving a man a fish and you feed him for a day, teach him to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. And obviously, as you think about that concept, I know that I drift toward one aspect of that example. I feel a little stronger about one aspect, the latter aspect, as I do the previous or the former aspect of that. I would drift more towards teaching people how to fish, and feel less strong about giving a person a fish because of the reasons that we have, we discussed there. However, there's obviously some, I have no doubt that there's some in the group that feel a little more stronger about the need to minister to that person's immediate needs and give them a fish now. And you will always be able to teach and talk and whatever later. But certain people feel stronger about the former part of that proverb. But I realized as I pondered that particular proverb and just how God uses it in our life, is that we all start out starving and needing a fish in our life. Even when we're born in our natural family, we're all being taken care of and being fed and being given. And it's the first thing that happens in our life. We ultimately mature and grow up and learn to fish ourselves and make provision for ourselves. And so there's kind of a normal natural cycle there. But I feel that our response really depends, obviously, listening to the Lord, but our response has to be dictated by the need of where that particular person is at. If they need, if the real need of their heart is that they learn to take responsibility and learn to fish themselves and whatever, even if that is the fact, you still got to feed them so they don't starve to death before they learn how to fish. So there's kind of a balance there that I guess we just have to learn to listen to the Lord and see what the Lord says in the process. So I think it is an important question, because I think we're all going to be faced with that more and more as this thing continues to go south.
Why not do both?
So exactly is what I'm saying. I think it ends up that we almost have to be ready and willing to do both at the same time. And who knows, one of these days we may not have the food to give, and we may have to, just like Jesus, we have to hand out that basket and trust the Lord to fill that basket for everybody,
I believe you're right.
I just kind of felt, to speak about that particular thing that Will was bringing up. Thank you.
I think we'll even get into it a little bit more here after we get to talking about prayer. So that's awesome. Go ahead, Missy.
you know, Will, bringing up about the whole COVID and the ramifications of it, you know, suicide and different things like that. I caught on the TV earlier when I was talking to Merle. The local news was talking, had this story about this woman whose mom is, her elderly mom is 94, and she went into a assisted living right before the whole COVID thing. And she didn't see her for, I didn't catch how long, but she really had to fight to get to go see her mother. Actually see her. She had to put on this mask, these gloves, this whole, go through this whole rigmarole. And she said she's not even sure if her mom really recognized her or something. Or I don't completely recall what she said, but and now they're starting to make tight restrictions again on visitations and stuff like that. And the subject, so they were saying about that they're kind of reevaluating, you know, they're coming to the understanding, they knew this ahead of time, about cutting people off from family and everything, that, you know, like President Trump says, that the solution can't be worse than the problem, you know. So I just want to pray for the elderly population, especially the Lord's elect. Father, I just ask you for your mercy and your grace upon them, Lord. Lord, just work in their hearts that they call out to you and not try and solve their problems, and solve their issues, you know, and just pray. Like our subject tonight is about prayer. Lord, that we just turn to you first in everything, Lord, that we pray, we go to you first, that we not lean on our own understanding, but trust you with all our heart and acknowledge you in all our ways. That's praying, Lord. And you will direct our paths, Lord. Use this as I know many, many avenues you're using, Lord, to get the attention of your people, cry out to you and look to their own works and to look at what they can do or what somebody else can do for them, Lord, and just work in your people's hearts to go to you first and ask you first, Lord. Even me, Lord, I know I don't always do that, so Lord, help us all to do that, Lord. And it's just Lord, I just ask you to comfort your people's hearts, Lord, the children and the parents, Lord, especially of your elect, Lord. Just comfort their hearts, draw them to you, and show them, Lord, that you're the answer to everything, Lord. You have not because you ask not, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, bringing my parents to that point, Lord, that they realize that you're the Savior in all things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that. These elderly people, in Jesus' name. All right, Will.
I just have a proposal. I just want to ask your opinion, Michael, and everyone here. I don't know if you're familiar with Telegram. It's a Telegram app. Are you familiar with Telegram? It's a Telegram. It's an app on Android, on an Android phone.
No. I know about telegrams when I was a kid, but as far as, I don't know
Telegram, anything about the app. Yeah, it's a communications app. If you go on the app, then we can internationally phone you on a data charge, not then we can phone you on a data charge, not international calls. You know, it would be nice to phone in emergencies. And also you can make a group. You can make a group on Telegram and then all of us can chat. We can make a group for everyone on the outreach, and even maybe some of David's group who's interested. And then everyone can post things on the group and communicate on the group. It would be nice for an emergencies, I guess, and also to discuss topics or, I don't know, put thoughts on there. And then everyone can communicate. If you've got an emergency prayer, you can just instantly post it on and everyone gets it immediately. And yeah, it might be good communication. Also for us to phone you, we can be able to phone you, and not necessarily in the wee hours of the morning, but when an emergency. And then it's much cheaper.
Yeah. But we hours of the morning, we get them all hours. It really does.
All right. I don't know what everyone else thinks, but
I like the idea.
You can think about it. Yeah, you can think about it.
I like the idea. Telegram app.
Yeah.
Is it free?
It's like, I don't know if you know WhatsApp.
What do you mean, WhatsApp?
WhatsApp app.
Yeah. WhatsApp.
It's also an app.
Telegram again.
Yeah. No,
somebody said, I think Petra said that Telegram app is a little more secure than WhatsApp.
Yeah. It doesn't, I don't think Telegram isn't part of Facebook, I think. No, it's not part of Facebook. Yeah, WhatsApp, I think, is now part of Facebook. But yeah, think about it. I think it will be awesome, you know, better communication. All right.
Okay, let me look into it. And what I'll do, if I scribble with everybody, if I look at it and see what's going on with it, and I think it's something we can use, I'll send it out to everybody. Give them a link, and you can hook up to it. And if you have a prayer request, you can send it to Julie.
What? If you get the app, Michael, then we must just get someone to start the group and then add everyone on the group for the outreach group. And it will be very nice. I'm sure it's going to be very awesome.
Okay. Well, let's do this then while we're thinking about it right now. Let's look at it. Everybody look at it. And then Thursday night, we'll talk about it and see what everybody thinks about it. Because I don't know anything about it. But that doesn't mean to say with my mind that I can't assume and put all of that stuff in my mind and know everything there is to know about Telegram app. Because God is good. He is so awesome. I think Missy's, yeah, I like it. What you get? You got a clean hand, Missy. That is a clean hand, girl.
I was going to say, Brandy seems to be pretty savvy about a lot of different stuff concerning all these different things. You might want to ask him if he knows anything about it and maybe can explain it to you if he does.
Okay. All right. Yeah. WhatsApp is owned by Zuckerberg. I don't like that. He's taking good man on this side. All right. Anybody else with a prayer request, a praise report, or just whatever before we get into tonight's subject? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I was. Let me try to put my thoughts together here. The Lord kind of opened up my eyes to some things. And I'll just go back to my leaking sink that I was prayed for and trusted the Lord to heal, that leaking sink. And this has been going on for a couple weeks here. And so I, Sunday, because I've been questioning the Lord if I was standing in unbelief or whatever, trying to clarify what, you know, what's going on. Do I not have faith? Or, you know, it's still a bit confusing to me. And I know Michael and everybody here on the group gave me a good information, basically just saying, you know, you just stand on the particular fact that you, that leak was healed in Jesus' name and confess that to be the case. And, but for some reason it wasn't making the connection in my understanding. And I don't know how to really explain it. But so Sunday morning, I woke up really early, and the thought, the scripture example came to my mind first thing when I was laying in bed, and that is the aspect of the scripture where Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, and he made a comment about until John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And so that was kind of in my back of my mind as I was thinking and taking a shower, because obviously, you know, we believe in turning the other cheek. And so that aspect that Jesus is saying there about taking the kingdom by force, or the violent taking it by force, can't mean physical violence of, you know, getting up and beating somebody up and taking the kingdom by force. It can't mean that. It has to mean there's some meaning related to that. And so anyway, that was in the back of my mind as I was thinking. So when I got down to study, to read the word, I asked the Lord to give me a scripture, if he would lead me to a scripture that could put some clarity on what I was experiencing. Why, let's say, why I wasn't seeing the answer that I was expecting to see. So it came to me as, Lord, if there is unbelief, say either in me or in my family or in my environment, how do I deal with unbelief and stand in faith, you know, in this situation? And I asked the Lord to give me a scripture, and he led me. My finger landed on John chapter 4, verse 53. And so I wanted to kind of read that, because it was that particular scripture, when I read it, it didn't really hit me as to, you know, what the Lord was telling me. But the scripture says, and this is an example, I'm probably going to read a little bit of it prior to this, but this scripture says, so the Father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. So when I read it, I thought, okay, well, I'm not making the connection here, Lord. If you're trying to give me a connection, I didn't quite catch a connection on this. But what I did is I read the note that I had written down under that scripture, and I got to thinking about it, and the Lord kind of opened my eyes up, and my note that I wrote there said that this verse reveals the culmination of the believing process started in verse 46. And so real quick, I just wanted to go back and just to read that section so that it puts a little bit of context to what was happening here. And this was when Jesus therefore came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea in Galilee, he went up to him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. For it was at that point, he was at that point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will in no wise believe. Now, what the Lord had shown me about this example in the scriptures is that believing is not so much an act of the mind or a thought, but it's a process. And I was reminded of a statement that somebody made. Matter of fact, it was attributed to an anonymous writer. And that statement is, failure is simply success in progress. And what these scriptures, with these verses here and this story was telling me as I started to read it and think about it, is that the believing that God is talking about in the scriptures, faith, is a process. It's not just a one step, one thing, one thought type of thing. Yes, I believe, and that's it. There's a process there. And so he said, when he heard that Jesus came out of Galilee, he believed already. He knew something and he believed, and he went, he packed his bags and went to go find Jesus. He believed something. He believed that if he went to Jesus, he was going for the sole purpose of finding healing for his son. And then when he got to Jesus, finally found him, Jesus threw a roadblock in his way. He said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will in no wise believe. And he was kind of pushing back at the guy. And the nobleman, knowing what he was looking for, he wanted healing, and Jesus was the one that could do it. He knew. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down or my child will die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son lives. And the man believed the word. Now, this is the second portion of his believing process. He first believed to come to Jesus. And this is the next portion of how he believed. How he worked it out. And Jesus said, go thy way. The man believed it, and he got what he received, and he went his way. And then as he was going down, his servants met him, saying that his son lived. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said, therefore unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, when the fever left him. And then it says, so the father, this is the verse that the Lord gave me, so the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son liveth. And he was inside, he was then further convinced that what he had believed was correct and that he got what he came for. And it this was the culmination or the finishing process, the fruit of that belief. The first there was the belief to go to Jesus, and then the belief that even in the opposition, he forced his way in to get to Jesus, basically, and Jesus gave him what he needed and said, go, and he, in obedience, believed that, still having not seen it, but came through the process and received the news that his son was healed and was then further convinced. His soul was convinced at that point. And the fruit of that was, it's said in the scripture, and himself believed. There was another level of believing there, and his whole house. Now, so there was a process, that last process, he again further deepened that belief or matured that belief or fulfilled or perfected, whatever word you want to use. There's a completing of that belief. And that's the place where his whole house, where others participate in that or are able to receive through testimony. Now, the thing that the Lord showed me was I have been guilty of taking somewhat of a passive stance. I have been passively participating in this believing process. But there is, I think, a point when the Lord, in order for him to get glory, there is a place where we must proactively participate in this process, still trusting God, still allowing him to do the work, to accomplish the work. But God gives us the privilege and the responsibility to participate, to proactively enter into that in some form. And that was my question. The question that I had from the Lord, for the Lord, was, how do I proactively participate in something that you are doing? And the Lord just kind of made the connected the synapses in my brain, or whatever, however you want to say it, and I realize that in what we have believed God for, that our participation is a participation of thankfulness and gratefulness and expression of that out to the Lord. And instead of continually wondering when, you know, why isn't it working or this and that, move past that point and start to thank God for its fulfillment. Thank God for its fulfillment before we see it. Now, everybody probably is maybe listening to what I'm saying is say, well, duh, Pat, we've been telling you that for 2 years or however long I've been on here. David's been teaching it for 20 years. But for some reason, it didn't make the connection in my brain for somehow. So I just say that to just say that I have taken the next step, and I'm praying and thanking God now for the healing of for everything, the healing of my body, the healing of this sink, or the fixing of this sink. I thank God for it. It's already done. It's in the process, whatever that, wherever it is, whenever he chooses to make that manifestation, it's up to him. But at this point, my participation is simply to thank him and give him glory and praise for what he's done. So I'm not sure now, if I explained like
to,
that.
I'd like to ask you a question, if I might.
Why? Thankfully, you can.
Okay. Why did you have to go around the world 2,348 times in order to get to the place of thanking God for the prayer that was prayed that it's already done? And I'm asking this because I don't understand.
And
I want a short answer.
I know you don't understand. And the only thing I can say is that God meant it for a purpose in me.
Okay.
Maybe it's the way my mind works.
Okay.
I can't actually answer that. All I know is that God has purpose in it, in whatever form that would be. And now I'm able to clearly understand.
Well, praise God.
And make that grasp. And so then I believe that the Lord will then be free to share it with others. That's the only thing I can say.
Okay. Well, praise God. We got to.
You're asking me, why am I do I have such a thick skull? I can't tell you.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Judy. Quickly.
Okay. I would like to respond to Pat because what crossed my mind was some scriptures. As he was talking about, it's a process. He was saying a process. The scripture that came to me was, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when you're in a process of, you know, like he was saying, he had to he was walking through that. And in a sense, it was like, that was what he was explaining. He was explaining to me, I felt like he was explaining that scripture. And then another scripture that came to me was, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So, you know, that's a process too. You got to keep hearing the word if you want to build up your faith. Another one, build up your most holy faith, praying in the spirit. You have to be in spirit. You got to keep in spirit by casting those thoughts that are not helping that faith. You know, being in spirit will keep us from speaking the wrong thing. And then another one that came to me was Psalm 37, where it says, commit your way unto him. I'm only giving you portions of Psalm 37. Commit your way unto him and wait upon him, and it will come to pass. That came to me too. So it all kind of relates to faith, and it is a process. You know, we can have it instantly as we grow, you know, but I think for somebody that doesn't know what faith is and they have to walk through it to, they don't understand it. I don't know. That's what's coming to me. So, okay.
All right. Okay. We had a request last week from Claire, I believe it was, to talk about prayer. Why do we pray? What is prayer? How do we do this, you know? So I'm just going to open it up by asking, why do we pray? Okay, this is getting real good. Yes, Debbie?
Well, I guess first off, because Jesus commanded that we pray. And we pray because him praying the way he always did was an example for us to follow. We could better obey him.
Amen. Give me a scripture.
Well, I don't know the scripture reference where he told us to.
Hebrews 11:6. Let's look at that one. Is that the one you was going for?
Well, I don't know if it's just pray without ceasing.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Okay.
Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen. Yes.
It is impossible to please God without faith. And we have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't diligently seek him, if you don't ask him, you can't receive, can you? Okay. Anybody, somebody else got one? Missy, you have your hand up? Or Denny? Missy? Marilyn.
Can y'all hear me? Earlier.
Fudgy. Dog, you better hush. Don't make me come through that TV.
She wants me to play. Come on, stop it. If you have not because you asked not. And ow, little stinker. I lost my train of thought. Well, if we don't, okay, what goes along with what you said, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing to God. Well, faith is believing that if you ask, he's going to give you what you ask. You know, what's the point of praying if you don't believe you're going to get an answer? You know? I mean, it's like, it's in vain. A double-minded man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Double-minded is unbelief. So that's just a couple of my thoughts there.
There's another one in Psalm 65 and 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And Pat's putting up there what, or Julie is. Wait a minute, let me get up here. Y'all running away from me here. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray without ceasing. 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is with. And there's tons of them out there. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive. And he that seeks, finds. And he that knocks, it shall be opened. And he that saith unto him, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Matthew 21:13. But you make it a den of robbers. That was Jesus. And there's a ton of prayer. There's a ton of scripture out there about praying, God commanding us to pray. And if he commands us to pray, why would he command us to pray if he wasn't going to answer our prayers? He said, you receive not because you ask not. Go, William. Go, Will.
We started this conversation, these scriptures came up. It's Matthew 6. Matthew 6 verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yeah.
Amen. Another one. All right, Julie.
I was just thinking that, you know, prayer is it's our way of communicating to God our needs, our feelings, our devotion to Him, our worship, our, you know, that's how we're able to communicate. It's our fellowship with Him, and He wants us to have fellowship with Him. And, you know, it's something that God has given us to be able to do, and we have to be weak in ourselves. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, when you first get saved or whatever, or you're just ignorant about a lot of things. And I remember ministering to somebody one time who's a baby Christian, and I was encouraging him while I was praying for him about something. And then I said, why don't you pray and I'll agree with you. And he's like, well, how do you pray to him? You know, it's just, there's so many things people don't know, you know, what do I call him? You know, and it's a humbling thing to, you know, and just, you know, there's just so many things. I'm like, he's God, not just me. And how am I supposed to talk to God? But that's what he wants, and is to come to him as in that childlike faith and just knowing that he exists and he wants us to talk to him, and it's a privilege to come and pray to him. And we don't realize, you know, in our baby growth to maturity, God just wants us to talk to him. And that's really what prayer is he wants us to talk to him. And then expect answers and expect him to talk back to you, you know, expect you're going to hear from him. And now that's kind of what I was thinking about prayer.
Amen. You know, the word says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord and I change not. And then in Hebrews 3:8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and for today and forever. If that's the case, then if he answered prayers for Moses, Joshua, and all of those other people in the Old Testament, then he'll answer ours too, because he changes not. And to say that, and there's whole denominations out there that say, well, God doesn't do that anymore. Well, excuse me, why are you praying? If you don't believe that God does healing or deliverance or any of those things anymore, why pray? Do you pray just to hear yourself talk? Because God is a hearing God. He hears our prayer. He longs for us to talk with him. He wants us to know when we pray that he will hear our prayers. And when he hears our prayers, he's going to act on your faith. And if you sit around and try to, like I've done before, you sit around and try to say, what is he going to do? Does he want me to do this? Or da, 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 da. No, he wants you to rest in the knowledge that he is the one that's heard your prayer, and he's going to be the one that gets the glory, not man, not anything else but God. And that's when you rest in the knowledge that God has heard your prayer, and you're going to stand on it until you see it's done. And when you see it done, during that time, like Pat said, you thank him, praise him for answering your prayer. Whether you see it done or not, don't make any difference what your natural eyes is looking at. Doesn't make a bit of difference in the world, because you are standing on what the Word of God says, the God who created this universe. And to say and to believe that he can't do something is to say and is to call him a liar. And when you call God a liar, that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. So that's why this group, I know, believes that when we pray, it's a done deal, because God is a good God and he answers the prayer of the righteous. And that's why talking to him and praying to him. Listen, let me tell you something. Why do you think, and I'm getting on a roll here, but I want to try to say something here. Why do you think there's not any power in the churches out there? You know why? Because they don't pray. The preachers don't pray. Oh, they get up there in front of somebody and read one. I've seen them do that. I've seen them get up there and get a book out and start reading a prayer. You know when somebody's praying, if they talk to God or not by listening to their prayers. You know the authority that they have when they pray. I know every one of y'all have power that Moses had, the power that Joshua had when he made the sun stand in the sky, the sun and the moon staying in the sky. Same exact power in your prayers. Okay. All right. Somebody raise your hand. Yes, go ahead, Debbie.
Just kind of go along with what Julie was saying. If we have a humble heart when we're praying before the Lord, as she mentioned, mm-hmm. Not just to hear ourselves pray and feel self-righteous, but real humble heart praying for the Lord, then he knows he has our ear and he can speak to us. And because that's how Jesus was, he spent so many solitary, lonely times with the Lord. And I read one today, I know there's others, I don't know which one it was now, but after he spent time with the Lord, then his disciples, he left the crowds and went to a lonely place to pray. And then the disciples came and found him, I think the next morning, and he said, what they said to him, but I wish I had the scripture in front of me. He said, let us go into the next town to pray, for this is why I came, to preach, this, to give the gospel, because this is why I came. So it's like number of times he was alone with the Lord, and he heard God, his Father, tell him what to do next, where to go, and so... He always had the ear of his Father, and so can we if we humbly spend time in prayer. Yeah. You can hear him speak to us and tell us what to do. And
amen. Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, you know, a lot of what we go through here, you know, a lot of our trials have to do with anxiety and fear and doubt and unbelief. And I love these verses here in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I pray those verses a lot. You know, to me, that's a promise from the Lord. And it's one I've grabbed a hold of. And I like to remind the Lord of you know, hey, I'm bringing this to you, and Father, I just want to thank you and praise you that, you know, you're letting me go through this, you know, whatever I'm praying about, whatever my concern is, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. And so, you know, just praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, even thanking him for the trial, and then just giving it to him. And you know, I just can't tell you how many times, you know, I pray these verses as I'm, you know, lifting up whatever prayer request or concerns that I have. And truly the peace of God that passes understanding will, you know, settle on my heart. And, you know, we pray these things and the angels start driving all that anxiety and fear and worry away from us.
Amen. I was just looking at that. That's amazing. Yeah. Be careful for nothing. We ought not to be full of care or anxious for anything. And what's the remedy of that? Well, it tells us that in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's how to get rid of anxiety. Amen. We're supposed to be praying through about everything, aren't we? We pray to God for everything. And I'm just learning that. I'm just now starting to do that. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I wanted to mention the one that Greg put down there in Matthew 7, you know, Sermon on the Mount. We all have to sometimes go back to do that kind of stuff to read that Sermon on the Mount. But to me, when you're looking at 7 and 7, it's pretty interesting, those two numbers, how you're supposed to enter the rest, because you're supposed to ask and it shall be given unto you. So isn't that a promise? And it says, seek and ye shall find. You know, I actually turned there because I read it when he put it on the thing. And since Marilyn brought up Philippians 4 and 6, and, you know, I have that one written in my kitchen because you need to have food there too, you know. It's right on the wall. My printer doesn't work, but I got it before the printer broke. And I don't think that printer is going to work again, but if God fixes that, it's going to be a miracle. Anyway, I haven't prayed for it, but, you know, it's seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it. You know, he's telling us right there, it's a promise, because I had to make sure it was a promise. And who seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it is being opened. Now, I like that, because it is being opened, because sometimes he's testing our faith and there's a steadfastness he wants out of you. But then he goes on and in verse 11, and he says, if ye therefore, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And, you know, Christmas is coming, and I went and bought some fishing lures, and they're pretty good lures. How much more will how much more good gifts unto your children? How much more will your heavenly Father give to you? And I think in another reference, it says the Holy Ghost to them that ask, you know, I think in one of the other gospels, I'm not sure if it's in this numeric one, but that's the way I always remembered it. And I just never thought of it as a promise. So that's really good. I'm going to have to, you know, the Lord Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer and someone recited that. You know, I remember explaining to someone, what's the first two words of the Lord's Prayer? You know, and he said, Our Father. So what does that make you? Who is Jesus? He taught us that, and it's Our Father. So I think we should really examine those first two words, because even if you're a little or from the greatest or the least among us, we'll all get our prayers answered, because that's the promise of his covenant. Anyway, that's my two cents. It actually, I'm just getting this as I'm speaking. I don't know why, but that's what I got.
Amen. That's good. I'm trying to get caught up on the chats here. I'm failing miserably, and y'all going too fast for me. All right, who's next? Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Lest anyone think I'm really wise in this, I've been shooting a lot of verses in there, something because I had Esau open, and there's a kind of a data dump going on from the Lord to me. So I'm kind of preaching to myself here. That's just all I had to say on that. You know, if the question is what is prayer, I'm going, I don't know exactly. Other than, you know, this much at least is that, you know, we hang on to the prayer shawl of Jesus, the hem of his garment, and he intercedes for us. You might have heard me pray, Father, listen to Jesus, don't listen to me. Interesting thing though, on that hem thing, I was listening to a little bit of Chuck Missler on Saturday, and it was on the Book of Ruth. I won't go into too much detail, but he mentioned the hem or the bottom of a robe had people's rank or authority or whatever was on there, kind of like a pilot might have his rank on his sleeve. Now, I don't know, what the basis of him saying that, but it was Chuck Missler, so I'll give him a bit of credit. But it made sense with everything in Scripture, that talks about the hem of a robe or whatever, grabbing hold of it, i.e. grabbing hold of that authority and that power rather than our own. End of my input.
Okay, I'll give. Amen. I'll tell you what, put it real simply. Let me tell you what prayer is, just in four words. Prayer is asking and receiving. When you ask, you have to expect to receive. How many of you heard of George Mueller? Great man of God, great man of prayer. My gracious sakes alive. He never told anybody what he needed except God. And when he told God what he needed, he received what he needed. He never even thought about that he wasn't going to get an answer to his prayer, because he always got answers to his prayer. You know why? Because he rested after he prayed and thanked God for it after that. It was done. He knew it. And he built an orphanage, I believe, wasn't it? Big orphanage. That's just one of many. Yeah, Benita.
Right when I was first saved, we went through some really hard times. And I mean, the Lord was obviously drawing us closer, but we just lost everything and didn't have a house to live in. And it was the coldest night, and we ran out of heat and didn't have heat for a week, and it was so cold. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I don't know, it's those kind of things that it's like, okay, well, why was that not answered? Or why, I had faith that I believed in Christ, and I know that there was a purpose behind him not answering that. He didn't take Paul out of prison or save him from things that he had to go through. So many things he had to go through. There's a purpose for that. But so the question, I guess, is, I want to pray for his will, not for my will. My will is that I'm happy and it's not. I mean, I know we're going to suffer, and we want to be steadfast in Christ and abide in him and in all of that. So I guess maybe my prayers weren't in line with his will, obviously.
Well, one thing that we always need to remember is that God's will is to help us do whatever it is that we need to do. Whatever we ask for, he wants to give it to us. 100% of the time when our prayers are not answered, it's doubt and unbelief. Well, it's two things, doubt and unbelief or sin. And if you repent of the sin, that goes away, And so it's most of the time it's just doubt. And that's, remember, what Jesus asked him, why couldn't we cast that demon out of that guy? He said, because you doubt and unbelief. And then King James added, you have to pray and believe. No, pray and fast. No, that's not right. He just said pray. That was added in there. You just pray and believe what you pray is happening. Believe it. And, I can't speak for what happened to you. I know in my past, the times that I asked the same question. Well, Lord, why didn't you answer my prayers? You know, and then I'll get in the Word, and the Word will show me why my prayers weren't answered. It's because of whatever, you know, whatever it was. It's never God's fault. Never God's fault. He's a true God. He's not a liar. He's going to answer your prayers. He's what we just got through with that prayer there. And I'm not trying to put any condemnation on you, Vanita, at all. What he wants us to do when we pray is make sure we're right with him. And when we're right with him and our faith is at the point to where we believe that when we pray, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And, you know, I don't know why. Well, let me put it this way. Somebody hit on that a while ago, and I believe it was Debbie. She said, she talked about humbleness. That's something else that the Lord likes is humble. Blessed are the meek, and they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. That meekness is talking about humbleness and being humble to the world. So, you know, you have to ask God. Yeah, Pat.
So I'm going to throw my two cents inward. And Michael, if I say something that contradicts what I said before, then just, you know, shoot out here. But I remember, Vanita, when I first became a Christian and I was looking for God in a deeper way, and I happened to be in a particular non-charismatic section of Christianity, of one of the denominations that did not believe in healing. Yet I believed in healing, and quite frankly, I just thought it's kind of useless to believe in God if you don't believe in healing, because, well, whatever, it doesn't matter. But so I remember a time when my daughter, she was just couldn't have been a year old. She got a fever. And so I just, you know, read what was in the Bible, you know, scripture there. And I laid hands on my daughter, and I prayed for God to heal her. And then I tested her temperature, and it didn't change. It didn't go away. And so I thought, oh, well, it must not have worked. Why didn't it work? And that's where I derailed, so the whole thing, and because I did not understand how to believe, and I guess I just, you know, maybe I still don't, because the Lord just took me through another process again. But it is a process, and that's what, you know, that's you know what David teaches, you know, ad nauseum, and a lot of the Word, that we have to persevere through that. We have to believe, we have to thank God, and we have to persevere. Well, I did not know that, and quite frankly, if I wouldn't have experienced that, I wouldn't have had the continual question in my mind, like you have in your mind, why didn't God answer that? Well, that's an important question that we, when, you know, God gives us these questions, these things that we didn't work. Well, there's a reason for that. So what's the reason, God? You've given me the Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth. I certainly am not in the truth if I haven't received the answer that your scripture promises. So I'm ready to learn the truth. What's the truth? Where did I go wrong? And just allow God to lead you through the process. It's, you know, and he will, if there's things that need to be corrected there in your mind or your heart, the way you're believing, don't feel like you're out in left field, because every one of us come out of the dark. Every one of us, we're pulled out of the darkness of this world, and God shone in our hearts. and has given us the Holy Spirit for one purpose only, and that's to lead us out of darkness into the light. So I would just be encouraged, and don't let doubt disrupt you. Just you take it, grab it, and keep moving towards God, and he'll show you. He'll open up your eyes and he'll make the connections for you and show you. So I don't know why I said that, but just be encouraged. He's
Amen. You can go back to Hebrews 11:6, when it said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Next one, here's the kicker. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've got to believe two things. First, we've got to believe there's a God. And second, we have to believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that God hears and answers prayer. And he says, endure in your faith until it happens, you know, during your faith to the end. Until what end of what? Until the end of your trial. And he'll do it. Just God wants us to rest in him after we pray. And I know that's easy to say, but when you got things happening all around you a lot, but we're to have joy in the knowledge that God's answered our prayers. Praise God. I don't care if I am out here, I'm hungry, I need something to eat. I thank you, Father, for my from the food, the manna that you've given me, and I know it's here. And watch what happens. He wants you to endure in faith to the end.
I think part of it is having come out of a church just now, which I'm still in right now, that doesn't really believe in the power of Christ. We sing the song, there is power in the name of Jesus, but they don't believe in healing. They don't believe in tongues. They don't believe in anything. And so where is that power? And so now that'll start manifesting. I think that it hasn't yet, has it in the past.
Well, just remember this, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay. Malcolm, is that you out there? Go ahead, brother.
No, it's not me. Dial one? Number? No,
all in user one.
Yeah. I thought it's interesting the way the discussion is going tonight. I was confronted recently with a life-threatening situation. I had a friend that died, not a friend, he was a distant acquaintance, that died of a similar situation. And I didn't want to tell my wife or family or anybody, because they'd all freak out and I'll come visit and pay their last respects and all that kind of stuff. So I woke up a couple nights with just fear, absolute fear. And I thought, this is strange. So now mind you, I've met you, and Michael's helped me pray and we've all prayed for several of our pets. And all of which have died now. And I questioned my own, where I was at, with the Lord. Why did we pray for these animals, our pets, and then they die? Well, I was, some time ago, I went to one of Torben's, it was one of the TLR Kickstart meetings. And I was, they were going, teaching that, that if you've watched the videos, it's the same teaching, but it was very good. So then we were praying for each other, and I got these two guys, there are three of us, three guys, we were praying, and both of the other guys had a sense that I had unforgiveness. I thought, oh, well, that's interesting, because I feel like I'd been trying to deal with that. And And I personally, I mean, I watched other people be healed, but I wasn't involved in anything myself, even though I did pray for people at Walmart. And the guy just kind of was offended that I even would approach him. So I thought, oh boy. But anyway, with this life-threatening situation in the last few days, I really was seriously just renouncing any kind of residual unforgiveness or bitterness or anything. And I was just racking my mind, who am I unforgiving or bitter toward or whatever. I just was going down this list with the greatest of vigor and just renouncing it. Say, Lord, I just renounce it. This is not me. This is not what you bought me, paid for me. And, you know, unforgiveness wasn't part of the package you paid for. So, I mean, in other words, what I'm saying is that there's no unforgiveness sitting with Christ up in heaven. And if I'm sitting with him, I don't have that. So anyway, I came down and I was just looking, you know, at Exodus 15, where it says, I will lay none of these diseases upon you that I have laid upon the Egyptians, and I am your healer. And then all these other texts are just coming to life to me. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I've already prayed that I'd be healed and I'd, you know, walk in, you know, divine healing. So that's it. It's a done deal. And it was so funny because I felt this total peace, like everything was fine. And now when I feel symptoms or whatever, I feel like, it's like, oh, well, you know, of course, one thing I have to deal with is, you know, the discipline to spend time with the Lord. So I don't want to get to the point where I'm lackadaisical and not spending time with him. But anyway, because you don't want to take the peace that you get from spending time with the Lord and then turn that into a nonchalant attitude. That's not what God's looking for. But you can still rest. So there's a difference between the two. There's a difference between nonchalance and carelessness and lack of discipline, but actually walking with the Lord and resting and not walking in fear. We want the fear of the Lord, but we don't want fear for our lives. We want fear of the Lord. So I don't know if that helps. By the way, it took me many years to come out of the denomination I was in, and I know the pull that it can have. But looking back, I wish I'd moved a lot quicker. I know the Lord works with us where we're at, but I felt like, and I got dreams to this effect, that I was in the synagogue. I was in with a group of people who were worshiping demons. And of course, you know, everything is, people are quoting the Bible and whatnot and talking about the Bible, but I'm telling you, people are worshiping, they're sitting at the table of demons. And so anyway, I think it's a good time to be urgent. There's an urgency to our situation, and I would just move as fast as you can and follow the Lord out of the city, out of beyond the walls, and follow Jesus to the cross.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. All right. Let me just go through something here right quick with you. Every attribute of God is implied in the fact that he hears and answers prayer. When one understands that God hears and answers prayer, then he can faintly perceive all the attributes or characteristics of God are implied when we understand that he answers prayer. First, a prayer-hearing God is a living God. He's not an idol of wood or stone or paper. When the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel cried out to their God, "Oh, Baal, hear us," 1 Kings 18:26. An idol has eyes, but it sees not. It has ears, but it hears not. It has a mouth, but it speaks not. A God who hears prayer is a living God. You remember what happened when Elijah cried out to God. He got an answer. Second, a prayer hearing and prayer answering God is an all-knowing God, omniscient. Does God hear the cry of millions of his people in all countries, in all languages at the same time? Does he even know the hearts of the suppliants? Does he see the faith? Does he know the sincerity or perceive the hypocrisy in the hearts of those who pray? Then he is a limitless God who knows all things. Third, if God is able to answer prayer, then he has all power in heaven and earth. If God answers prayers for rain, he must control the weather. Seen it. I've seen it happen. If God answers prayer about crops, he must control the sun, the insects, the moisture, and even the germ of life in the seed itself. Does God answer prayers about health? Then God must have in his hand every corpuscle in the blood, every nerve, every process of metabolism in the human body. Does God answer prayer about revival or about the conversion of a sinner? The God must have influence on the very souls and consciences and wills of men. If God answered the prayer of Joshua that the sun might stand still in its relation to the earth for about the space of a day in Joshua 10:12, 10 verses 12 and 13, then God controls the whole infinite universe. He answers prayer. He has infinite power, limitless power. Fourth, if God answers prayer and has such infinite wisdom, such almighty power, then he himself must be the creator. There could be none other as powerful. There could be none to dispute his right. There could be none other to limit his work or cross his will than the God who answers prayer. In the very nature of the case is the creator of the heavens and earth. Fifth, the God who answers prayer then is a miracle working God. To believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him means that one has faith in all that is ever claimed for God. If there is a God who hears and answers prayer in the sense of the Bible, then of very necessity, his work is miraculous, supernatural, not ordinary, but extraordinary, not human, but divine, not limited, but infinite in scope. Does God work miracles today? Yes? The answer is yes, if he is the God who rewards those that diligently seek him. And if he is still the God who hears and answers prayer, then his ordinary and natural way of working and answering prayer would be by miracles. Every soul saved is a supernatural act, not a natural one. And every time God intervenes and controls nature or changes a plan to make it rain, when it otherwise would not have rained, and does it because someone prayed, then that's a miracle. Every time a person gets well in answer to prayer, when otherwise he would not have gotten well, it's a miracle, a divine intervention in national affairs. As the late Dr. Blanchard, president of Wheaton College, said in one of his books, if there be a God, he must act like God. A God works miracles. A God who would cease to work miracles would cease to be God in the Bible sense. That is a personal God who personally hears and answers the prayer of faith. And if God seeks, if God answers prayer, then he is a God of infinite love and mercy. God knows none of us deserves to have our prayers answered. We poor sinners deserve only condemnation and forsaking and punishment of death. But God loves us. His mercy is boundless. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Romans 5:20. If there is a God who rewards those who diligently seek him, that is who hears and answers the cry, the faith, the need of human being, then God would give his own son to atone for sin and make it so he could righteously forgive and have them forever with him in heaven. And don't you never, ever forget that. And when one really believes that God is a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God, he has the secret to the very heart of God. And he can dimly see and outline all the graces and powers and majesty of the infinite God. A God who hears and answers prayer is a true God. Any God who does not hear and answers prayer has not the power and the grace to create or support the world or to love and seek and save lost sinners. And with these things in mind, we can understand how God longs to be known by the title, O Thou That Hearest Prayer. And that is the name of God, O Thou That Hearest Prayer. And how no one can please him, no one can come to him without believing that he is a God who hears and answers the prayer of those who diligently seek him. Praise God forevermore that we've got a loving God that answers our prayers. And I believe every time that I pray and every time that you pray that he answers those prayers. As long as we stay in faith and believe and endure to the end, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Matter of fact, you can look back and see that it's already happened 3,000 years, 2,000 years ago. He did it on the cross. And when he did it on the cross, we don't look forward. We look back to the cross because it's already been taken care of. God took care of it by his blood. Jesus did. Amen. Well, good gracious, this past time. How in the world we do that? Boy, we had a good time tonight. All right, anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? Yes, Greg.
Sorry, just getting the mouse to work. In relation to what we've been speaking about, hang on, let me just press the enter button here because I want to put a scripture in the chat. And I just want to, look, that's the prayer request I would have. I mean, I was looking at some of the verses that we were speaking about and that request of that father when Jesus said, something along the lines of, all things are possible if you believe. And he says, I believe, help my unbelief. And I was looking at that. I just want to fess up for, the fellowship that that unbelief that that father's talking about, I know that big time. And if there's a prayer request here, I'm going to chuck that up there to Jesus. Please help this unbelief because, as I said before, I was getting a whole lot of dump of scripture, which is preaching to me. But this is what scripture says, which is contrary to how my brain, tells me things work and probably how I see things sometimes as well. So, and I suspect I'm probably not the only one. Except for you, Michael, because we look to you as the super spiritual one who can work all things. If that makes sense, and if we're wrapping up, that's my prayer request. Please, get rid of this unbelief that's in the way. And also keep the humility on me too, because I'd like to be able to pull the trigger and something happens, but then I know my ego will get in the way too. That's me anyway.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you something that I've learned over the years. And the Lord has placed faith in me early on, and it's not supernatural. It's just that when I got healed the first time I got healed, I knew that the preachers were telling me lies in the pulpits, because I went out on the streets, even when I was in that first church I was in, and I saw God do miracle after miracle after miracle when we prayed. And he does that to new Christians a lot. He'll bring them along real quick so that they will believe that when they do pray, it's going to happen. And that has stayed with me. Not that I'm supernatural faith in it. They ain't got nothing to do with it. What has to do with it is getting in the Word of God and putting that word in you and getting that word and understanding the word where faith is involved. And I'll be honest with you, Greg. That's been most of my study has been on faith. And I understand that if we get in the rest after we pray and just believe God and forget about what's going on around you, I've seen people come back to life. I've seen, you know, legs grow out. I've seen all kinds of things like that. But it's understanding that he's a big God. He's bigger than me. He's bigger than anybody in here. And he can do what he says he's going to do. And I know that, look, I've gone through doubt and unbelief many times. What is he going to do at this time? He's going to do it this time. You know, but I cast it down. I cast it all down because I know people's lives are involved in it. And so we just hang on to it. And when, you know, when I don't know all the ins and outs of it, I really don't. But I do know this, that God answers prayer. And he will answer to those who believe and stay with him. Just hang with it. And I'll be glad, Greg, when the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gift of healing is given everybody. In the bride and the man child. And I believe it's going to happen in a real unprecedented way. That you're going to get faith. You're going to have the faith to believe everything that you pray is coming to pass. I didn't have, gosh, when I came here, I thought I had faith, man. I didn't have nothing. I saw big storms go away. I saw all kinds of things that I didn't believe possible. Because there was other people that had better faith than I did. I learned from other people. I watched them. And that's how we do it. We grab each other by the hand and love each other and teach each other what it is to believe. Yeah, William. I guess we can go another hour.
According to you, probably, Michael, were you saying William?
Yes, I did.
I think Malcolm sort of mentioned unforgiveness. If I understood him correctly, unforgiveness is the cause of his prayers not being answered. If I understood him correctly, I just want to ask if we can continue this next week. Because yes. I see so much, even when I posted that the Jesus teaching praying, and then he's at the end of that's also, if you don't forgive your enemies. So there's a few things I think in unforgiveness and.
Uh-oh. We lost William.
If we could just, it will be good to continue the prayer conversation, especially for me, the influence of unforgiveness and the fear of unforgiveness on my prayer life. I've got this fear of unforgiveness, you know, and that sort of hinders.
Amen. Okay, we'll do that. We'll continue this Thursday night. So put your questions down, put your answers to the questions down. All of that, and we'll continue this Thursday. Julie, you got a question or you got a comment? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to make a comment that, you know, yeah. If we've already repented of unbelief and doubt and all that stuff, and you've taken it to the Lord, then you believe it's gone, that you don't have it, and ask God for the faith that you need, ask him for the grace that you need, and you fight that demon, because a lot of times it's just a spirit messing with your natural sight, emotions, the circumstance, whatever, and he's firing those fiery darts into your, you know, area there, and you got to keep your armor on. It's a battle. It is an everyday battle, and so all I'm saying is, yeah, help my unbelief. But if you've already confessed that, and you just got it, he already took it away. He already took your doubt and unbelief away. It was nailed to the cross, and you don't have it. And you ask him for the faith, and you ask him to give you the grace to believe for whatever it is, you know, and ask him, Lord, help me with my faith. Show me what to do to, you know, overcome this, you know, and He'll meet you where you are. That's all I was going to say. But I just know sometimes it can just be a spirit that you're just dealing with.
Yeah, it is. One other thing, and Barbara hit on it right there in the chat about emotions. Think about that when we come back Thursday night. How do emotions affect your faith? Because we're supposed to be dead, right? And I just throw that out there. Well, Father, we thank you for another good night. Lord, help us to answer all the questions. Help everybody in here to help answer the questions that are going to come back up Thursday night. And I know they will be. And Father, I praise you and I thank you for them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you this in my life and everybody that has a problem. I ask, Father, that you take out any kind of pride or of self or anything like that out of me and anybody else that might be struggling with that. In the name of Jesus, Lord, humble us to the point that we're just like Jesus. I want to be nothing more than Jesus. And that's a lot. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, give everybody a good night's sleep tonight, too, Lord, without any snow. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Amen. Good night.